Last night I had something in the middle of the night and I switched the sermon. So, but actually I think what I'll be talking about today, this sermon ought to go first. So I hope that you'll be back God's will tonight to hear the remainder of the lesson. We're talking about Hezekiah today, both morning and evening. We're going to talk about the testimony of Hezekiah this morning, and we're going to make application of that in our lives tonight by asking the question, how would God remember you? We thank Brother Montgomery for reading verses 1 through 7, and those are the verses 3 through 7 will be the body for our lesson this morning. 2 Kings chapter 18. The Bible teaches us there that Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned for some 29 years. And so the things that are talked about in verses 3 through 7 will be a testimony of his life during those years of his kingship. As we then look at the life of this king, King of Judah, of course, we'll notice some great things that are said about him. It was a life that is worth our imitation. It makes for a great testimony. It's sort of similar to that of Enoch, where the Bible talks about him in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Said that for he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't we want to please God? That's the only way we can go to heaven. We must please God. Hezekiah lived a life during those 29 years that was pleasing to God. When we talk about a testimony is an affirmation, or an affirmation, or a declaration, a form of evidence or proof. It's a public avowal or an open acknowledgement as of the faith of a religious experience. What we have before us this morning in this writing in 2 Kings chapter 18 is the testimony that the Holy Scriptures give to such a man as Hezekiah. Therefore, it is an absolutely true testimony. And there are some wonderful things, as I've said, that are stated in these verses. And I hope as we go through these verses this morning that we will strive to make them even become a part of our lives. That we too, as I've said, can please God and look forward to going to heaven. Looking back at the text beginning at verse number 3, we find the Bible says, "And he," that is Hezekiah, "did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." So the first thing we see that is said about Hezekiah, according to the scripture, is that he did that which was right in the sight of God. This meant, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that he did that which was according to God's will. Oh, I would this morning that everybody would do that which is right in the sight of God. If everybody did that which was right in the sight of God, we wouldn't have to worry about all of the atrocities that go on in the world. We'd have to worry about all of the trouble and the affliction that go on among individuals, even bringing it to the church all of the problems that go on in the church if folks would just do right in the sight of God, and problems in the community, problems in the home, problems everywhere, if folks would just do right in the sight of God. But because Satan, who is our adversary, that the Bible says, as he walks about seeking whom he may devour, somehow he just gets it into our mind that we don't need to do right. Oh, again, as I said, if people would just do the things that are right. You see, God's word is the standard of doing that which is right. But so many people ignore God's word. So many people will reject God's word. So many people make up their own standard of being right. What is right for me is right. What is right for you is right. Not necessarily. It must be according to the word of God. That's where the standard of rightness comes from. We must live up to the standard. We must live up to what God expects of us. I'm glad that God didn't leave it so that we could go through life and make up our own rules. I'm glad that there are at least some folks trying to do right. What a world we would live in if there was nobody trying to do right. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Well, I tell you, in one time in history, according to the Bible, there was a time. According to Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6, the Bible says, when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I can imagine how terrible that was. Everybody doing that which is right. I steal your car if I think that's right to me. Isn't it a shame when people ignore the will of God? We need to then again do what's right in the sight of God. Hezekiah had this great testimony. The Bible says again, he did that which was right. When we look in the Bible in Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 4, the Bible says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. If the word of the Lord is right, then something ought to tell me that if I do what the word says, then I'll be right. But again, the reason why so much confusion, so many atrocities, so much problem, so much trouble goes on in the world today is because people will not abide by the word of God. That's the only way you and I are going to get to heaven, is by doing what the word says. You remember what Jesus said, I'm sure, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. How do we know what the will of the Father is? Is in his word. Our thoughts are not the will of the Father. Our feelings are not the word, are not the will of the Father. Somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's feelings, they are not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is found in his word. And if we would just go to the word of God and study the word of God and determine within our hearts that we are going to do what the Lord says, we'll do right. I challenge us this morning to be people who will do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. But not only does the Bible give this testimony of Hezekiah, but the Bible also says in verse number 4, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Notice what he did. The Bible says he did what? Remove the high places. What did they do in the high places? They worshiped to idols. So one thing that Hezekiah did was that he removed idolatrous worship. That would be a good thing for us today, wouldn't it? Is to make sure that we do not worship idols. Somebody said, I don't have a statue. I don't have Mother Mary on my wall. But we can still worship idols. Anything you see that takes the place of God becomes an idol. And I read in my Bible, and you can read in your Bible in Exodus chapter 20, that God is a jealous God. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, I'm a jealous God. God doesn't want us placing our allegiance on anything or anybody else over and above him. And so Hezekiah removed idolatrous worship. And perhaps, as it seems here in this text, that perhaps this was his first priority when he became king. And I would say to us this morning that if that's not our first priority, then nothing else is going to work in our lives as far as pleasing God. Until we decide that we are going to devote ourselves truly to God and to nobody and nothing else but God, nothing else will work as far as our spiritual relationship with God is concerned. We must dedicate and devote ourselves totally to God. Sure, we carry out our daily activities, yes, but they all must be carried out subservient to God, or in submission to God. You can't do anything you want to do on your job and think you can please God. You can't walk in and curse out the supervisor when you think you've been mistreated if you're a child of God. So many times people will take matters into their own hand. We still must be in submission to what God's will says. So God then must be first in our lives. And if you notice in the passage that I just read and that you read up there, that the people of God had taken something that God had used one time to deliver them and turned around and made it an idol. That serpent that Moses put upon the pole when they were coming through the wilderness, when people were murmuring, and God told Moses to make a brazen serpent. And the Bible says, as they were murmuring, many people died. And the Bible says that when he told Moses to make that serpent, he says, as many as look upon the serpent will live. Now that was for their deliverance. But then they turned around later on in later years and made that an idol, looking upon it as an idol rather than looking upon the one who had delivered them. Sometime we can make this building an idol. Make sure that we don't put anything ahead of God. God must be first in our lives. We must be devoted, again, as I said, wholeheartedly to him. No wonder Jesus, when he answered that question, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Did you catch that? All of your heart. We can't hold back any of our heart. We can't say this little piece of my heart belongs to me. No, we got to give God all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And this can only be done when we are willing to deny ourselves. Jesus made that a requirement of being his disciple, of being his follower in Luke chapter 9 in verse number 23. If any man would come after me, he said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow me. So Hezekiah removed idolatrous worship. If we are going to have the same testimony that Hezekiah had, we must not have anything in our lives that will take the place of God. What a great king this was as he reigned for those 29 years. God was pleased with his life during that reign. Not only did he do that which was right in the sight of God, not only did he remove idolatrous worship, but you notice what verse number 5 says. He trusted In who? The Lord. Not himself, but he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him, look at this testimony, after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. You know what that tells me about Hezekiah? That Hezekiah was the best king that Judah had. Nobody before him, nobody after him was like him. Oh, isn't that a great testimony? Not that we are in a competition, but we ought to so live our lives until the same thing could be said about us. He trusted, the Bible says, in the Lord. During his reign, evidently, he recognized his inability to sustain or to guide himself. He was like, I'm sure, Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, a familiar passage that's when Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, for it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Hezekiah realized that if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, if I'm going to rule God's people like he wants me to rule them, I must trust in him. He trusted in the Lord. In order to trust in the Lord, you got to be humble. You got to be submissive. You got to be willing to do what the Lord says. And you got to believe that the Lord will be by your side. You got to be one who have faith and confidence in the Lord. Aren't we instructed when we read the book of Proverbs to do the very same thing? Proverbs chapter 5, or chapter 3 rather, verses 5 through 6. The Bible says over there, trust in the Lord and do what? Lean not to thine own understanding. In all, that's that word all again. I talked about it all when I talk about loving the Lord with all our heart. He says, in all thy ways, not some of your ways, not most of your ways, but all. In all thy ways, he says, acknowledge him. And he'll do what? Direct thy path. The reason why people have so much trouble in their lives, things coming together in their lives, things working out in their lives, is because sometimes we have a tendency to want to trust in our wisdom, in our ways. But we need to put it in God's hand and trust in his ways and let him direct our path. We don't know where we're going anyway. That's what Jeremiah said. I can't direct my steps, so why don't I trust in somebody who can? God is in heaven. That's where I'm trying to go. Jesus was there. He came from there. He went back there. He ought to know the way. So I ought to trust in Jesus. No one, he says, no man can come to the Father but by me. So Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. Do you, do I, do we trust in the Lord like we should? I hope that we do. So Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. And then, fourthly, in verse number 6, the Bible says this, for he clave to the Lord. You know what that word clave means? Literally, it means to take hold of and don't let go. He clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Are we like that? Do we hang on to the Lord for a while? Then all of a sudden we start doing our own thing. So many people are like that. We can't do that and please God. We got to hold on to God at all times. Y'all have heard this saying, I'm sure, that people have said down through the years, I'm going to put my religion on the shelf. That's somebody who's not going to cleave to the Lord at all times, not going to hold on to the Lord at all times. They got some things they want to take care of themselves, and so they're going to let the Lord's way go, and they're going to start following their way and going to take care of whatever the matter is. And then you hear somebody else says, if I weren't a Christian, I tell you something. What kind of talking is that? That's somebody, again, sound like they wish they weren't a Christian. I hope nobody is like that this morning. Hezekiah, the Bible says, clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. That's what we ought to be. Cleaving or holding on to the Lord and depart not from following him. I love my wife sometimes, but when she get on my nerve, I ain't going to love her no more. But I don't sound like I'm cleaving to the Lord. My wife says I'm going to treat my husband sometime, but when he gets on my nerves, boy, I'm going to let him have a piece of my mind. That ain't the way to live, brothers and sisters. I'm going to love this sister when she loves me. I'm going to speak to that brother when he speaks to me. Or I'll forgive them if they forgive me. That's not the way to do it. Hezekiah, no matter what went on around him, Hezekiah says, I'm going to hold on to the Lord. We're going to sing this song. I had it written down in my notes, Brother Hall. I'm glad you announced it. 244. That song that says, hold to God's unchanging hand. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We need to keep holding on to God's unchanging hand because he does not change. You and I will change, but not God. We need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And when we hold on to God's unchanging hand, we know we have something that's sure and steadfast. We have an anchor for the soul. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. So Hezekiah clave to the Lord. We ought to hold on to the Lord because he's our life. He's our lifeline. If we turn God loose, what can we do? He's our lifeline. God said to his people a long time ago to hold on to him. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 20. The Bible says this, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Why? For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. So he said to his people a long time ago, hold on to me, take a hold of me, and don't let go. Cleave to me because I'm your life. We need to hold on to God. You remember when Paul was talking to those people in Athens, in the city of Athens, on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 28. He says, for in him we live, we move, and have our being. We need God. As somebody says many a time, God don't need us. We need him. So we need to hold on to God. Cleave to him. Hold on to his unchanging hand. A man by the name of Barnabas, one of the co-workers of Paul, when the Jerusalem church heard that some Gentiles down in Antioch had received the gospel and obeyed the gospel, they sent Barnabas down there. And they sent Barnabas down there. And what Barnabas did when he got there, he encouraged them, he exhorted them to hold on to the Lord. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 23. The Bible says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would do what? Cleave unto the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning, hold on to the Lord. Don't let him go. And when I say, I know you can't reach out and physically touch the Lord, but you got his word. Hold on to his word. Cleave to his word. Do like this king did. Cleave to the Lord. And the Bible says again, nobody was like him before him. Nobody was like him after him. That was the king of Judah. What a great testimony he had by cleaving to the Lord. And then verse number 7 says this. And this is what we all want, I'm sure. How many in here this morning want the Lord to be with you? Every one of us want the Lord to be with us. Well, if we want the Lord to be with us, then why don't we do what he says? When we do what he says, he'll be with us. The Bible says this in verse number 7. And the Lord was what? With him. The Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? The Lord was with him because he was one that did that which was right in the sight of God. He was one that put God first in his life and in the nation of Israel by removing this idolatrous worship. He was one who trusted in the Lord. He was one who held on to the Lord. He clave unto the Lord. And the Lord was with him. Verse 7 says this, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. You know, God had made this promise a long time ago to the nation of Israel. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 3, notice what it says. The Bible says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. That's prospering, brothers and sisters. That you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God says, if you hold on to my word, you do my commandments, you're going to increase mightily. You're going to prosper. It's going to be well with you. Again, sometimes we wonder why it may not be so well with us. Well, the reason why it may not be so well with us, it may be that we're not doing what God says. So he made that promise, and he was keeping this promise in the time of Hezekiah. The Lord was with him. And you know what? When we read Psalms, David said basically the same thing. In the very first division of Psalms, in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, David said this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate both day and night. And then verse number 3 says, and he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. God will be with folks that'll do his will. Or he'll be with us. So he made that promise, and he was keeping his promise as Hezekiah was doing his will. Jesus made that promise even to his apostles when he gave the great commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. He says, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Thank God that he's a promise keeper. He's one that will not go back on his word. When we do his will, he will do what he has promised us he'll do. Hezekiah had a great testimony. What about your testimony? Are you like Hezekiah? I want us to be encouraged as I close this morning to so live our lives such that we'll have the same testimony. And again, that's the type of testimony that it takes to please God. And so if we truly want to sing hallelujah by and by, Then pattern your life after Hezekiah. He's a good pattern maker, if you will. He's a good person to follow. One who will trust in the Lord. One who will just hold on to the Lord. And so even as we will sing in just a little bit, this song that has been announced, time may be filled with swift transitions. Don't let that bother us. Just keep on holding on to the Lord. And when we hold on to the Lord, he'll hold on to us and see us safely through. But you got to keep holding on to him. Hold on. Remember that literal thing that I talked about? What cleaving mean? Claiming, cleaving. To literally take hold and don't let go. Hold on to the Lord by doing his will. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to obey it so that you can hold on to him. How do you do that? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Hear how God loved you and how he sent his son, to die for you and how he did die. But then they took him from the cross and they put him in the heart of the earth. And on the third day morning, he arose a conquering king. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All that because he was the Son of God. Do you believe that? Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. So believe in Jesus as being the one who died for your sins and who was resurrected. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God. Let that motivate you to repent, to turn away from your sin. Because remember, you can't go to heaven with your sin. Jesus says in John 8:31, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't go. Please don't die in your sins. So turn away from your sins. Peter says, the Bible says in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Make up your mind that you're going to turn away from that lying. You're going to turn away from that fornicating. You're going to turn away from that adultery. You're going to turn away from that drinking. You're going to turn away from that gambling. You're going to turn away from that hating. You're going to turn away from that shacking up. You're going to turn away from that drugging. Turn away from all of that unforgiving spirit that you have in your heart. Turn away from those things and turn to the will of God. That's what repentance is all about. And if you're in denominationalism, that is a church you can't read about in the Bible, turn away from that and get into one that you can read about, because that's the only one that's going to heaven. So make up in your mind that you're going to turn from that which is wrong and turn to that which is right. And then make that good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. And then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. I know the world will tell you that there's nothing in baptism, but the world ain't the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 15:16. Would you believe Jesus? I choose to believe Jesus. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. You become a member of the body of Christ then strive to have the same testimony that Hezekiah had. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, I urge you again to repent. If you need to confess, do that today. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, if it's baptism, if it's confession, or if it's just prayer, whatever your need is, we're standing now and we're singing, Would You Come?
The transition, all of it come loose and stand.